Don't think, well, they won't miss me. Yes, we will. And we do. And believe me, when you're not here, I know it. So I said, Lord, get them, get them. No. But we just want to make sure everybody's okay, right? You got something to do, you're on a vacation, whatever, you know, cool. But as often as we can, let's get together, okay? How many receive something when you come together with the body of Christ? Amen? Amen. Something good. Yeah, okay. All right. Come expecting. And you know, guys, listen, if we are not careful, we can adopt an attitude where you can be expecting the wrong kind of thing. Okay? Well, if a person is offended, they can pick up an attitude of offense, a condition of offense, rather than just a temporary feeling of being offended. If a person internalizes that and doesn't deal with it, they can become offended. And then you can get into a place where now you start to expect offenses. You start to expect bad things to happen to you. Or somebody's going to be disrespectful towards you, for example. And so anytime you get people together, amen, there's going to be times when we step on each other's toes. There's going to be times when we do offend. And not that it's even intentional. Most people don't intentionally offend anybody. Can you say amen? But it just happens, and you can't escape that. But what's really important is that you learn how to deal with it correctly. Okay? And I think it's very important that we have the right attitude when we come. And that I'm not actually coming to be served, but I'm coming to serve. I'm not coming to be blessed, but I'm coming to be a blessing. Amen? And, you know, God will bless you if you want to become a blessing. How many know God gives his grace to the humble? And the humble one is the one that has submitted to him as Lord and wants to be a servant for him. Amen. And so God will give his grace to those who are going to be faithful stewards over his grace. So I want to be a servant of the Lord. Amen. I find it better to serve than to be served. Amen. It's more blessed, isn't it? Jesus said. So let's just come with the attitude of, hey, how can I help somebody else? How can I bless somebody else? Amen. So we can go out of our way even to say hello to somebody. Instead of waiting for somebody to come to you, why don't you just go to them? Amen. Because God has called us to love. Amen. And not to expect to be loved. You know, and God has called us to serve and not expect, even though it will happen, that we will be served by others, brothers and sisters. Amen. And I need the service of other brothers and sisters too. I need to hear, amen, what God is saying, all right, through others. So we need each other. God designed us that way. Just like your physical body needs every part, right, functioning and working together in harmony. So the enemy is really hard at work trying to cause division. And this is something that I need to touch on every so often, because we're in a war and the enemy is trying to divide us. The enemy is trying to get in our heads and mess with us and get us upset and get us offended to basically, you know, grab a hold of the bait that he's setting for us so he can trap us. John Bevere wrote a great book called The Bait of Satan. Has anybody read that book, The Bait of Satan? John Bevere, I'd encourage you, if you haven't, or even once in a while, to go back and look at it. It's a tremendous book, and it really deals with the subject of offenses. And they're going to come. Jesus said they would come. One of the outstanding characteristics of the end times will be division. And are we not seeing that in every arena? The devil loves division, and he loves to sow discord among brethren. And he seeks to divide nations, kingdoms, families, churches, races. God loves unity. God loves harmony and purity. Amen. So the title of today's message is Staying Free from the Trap. Staying free from the trap. And Jesus said in Matthew 24:10, he says, in the last days, then many will be offended And the word offended means to scandalize, to entrap or trip up. Many will be entrapped and will betray one another and will hate one another. So it began with an offense that turned into what? Betrayal, and ended in hatred. And this is a trap of Satan. And we need to really guard ourselves and protect ourselves from this, because the devil wants to set a trap for your soul. And he wants to get you and I offended so that he can lead us into this betrayal and get us into hatred. And we need to guard our hearts. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart, or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. The New Living Translation says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So the enemy wants to first get into our head and hopes that he can get into our hearts. So he'll first work and play with your mind. And if he has an audience, and if we entertain those thoughts long enough, amen, then we'll actually end up giving him access to our hearts. And once he gets into that part of our heart, amen, then he begins to do his worst damage. So everyone, including myself, gets offended at times. Can you say amen? I can get offended in the grocery line, you know. Well, she was rude. Or he was rude. You know? You can't avoid it completely. But there's a difference between a temporary feeling of offense as opposed to a mental and spiritual state of being offended. There's a difference, right? It's what you do with the offense. How far you want to run with that ball. The devil is the author of confusion. So he doesn't want us to walk in peace. He doesn't want us to have the peace of God or enter into the rest of God, because he looks for ways to steal our peace. And so one of his ways that he can rob us of our peace is to get us offended at one another. And many times as a pastor, I have to deal with this. I need to fight off that devil that's trying to get a root, a stronghold in me. And so I'm going to give you some tools on how to deal with that when it happens, okay, that I know work. And they're scriptural. Jesus said in Matthew 18:7, woe to the world because of offenses. Same word used there, scandalon, to trap or snare. And this was the method used to ensnare animals in Bible times. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes. In other words, it's one thing about being offended by somebody else, but don't you be the one that's causing the offense. So an animal is safe as long as it can discern a trap. You know, we used to have rats in our ceiling, not here. But when we were in Korea, we had some pretty good-sized rats, man. I mean, they were like cats, you know. So I declared war on these rats, because we'd be laying in bed at night and you hear these things go thump, 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 thump. I mean, it was just like that. It was that loud. It was like somebody walking up in there. I'm like, what? So we went and got some of these big, they don't mess around over there with those little wooden things. They get these big bear claws, you know. Yeah, don't get your finger in that one. And I would set those traps up there, and I'd have to find out the right kind of bait. You know, so I'd put peanut butter up there thinking, well, peanut butter would stick, so they can't get it off very easily. And, you know, those suckers are good up there, and they'd, like, lick that peanut butter off there and never set it off. And so I had to step it up a little bit, you know, and I finally found out, just get some rice, a bunch of rice kernels, and spread it around in there. And I'd be laying in bed at night, and Heysuk remembers this. You're hearing it, clink. He starts squealing. Oh, I got one. Ooh, I run out in my pajamas or whatever, you know. Because in order to get upstairs, I had to go outside and from the outside and in like that. In the hooch that we're at. So, anyways, you have to know how to set the bait, right? You need to put the right bait out. Well, the enemy is very wise at this. He's been doing it a long time. He's not stupid, by the way, as some people say. He's been at it a long time. He knows how to bait things and hopes to get us to take it. And that's one of the ways he does it, is he sets a trap of offense for us. Another thing, guys, that we need to really be careful of is picking up someone else's offenses. You know, a friend of yours, someone you care about, you know, is in this debate or this situation. And you want to do the right thing because, I don't know about you, but I like to help people. Right? And your motivation is to try to help and set things straight. And I know there's times when I got to deal with a situation where I'm being fed from this direction and that direction. And I have to be very careful about how much I get involved in the middle of that. You know, or I can end up taking up somebody else's offense just based upon what they tell me. And I can be offended just like the person who's offended. Especially if you are a very merciful person. You have a gift of mercy. You're more vulnerable to being offended even by your friend's offense. Okay? So you've got to guard yourself against these things. Not to say that you don't step in and try to help, but I believe the best way to help people, amen, is to be an intermediator together with them rather than trying to work from both angles, amen, without them both being present there. And not to say that you have to cut off friendships or anything like that, but we need to be careful about how involved we get in somebody else's stuff. Can you say amen? Because it can, if you're not careful, trap you. Or you'll end up, you know, with maybe not even intentionally, but at least being labeled as taking sides in a situation, whereas you might not have heard both sides of the story, so you can't make an accurate judgment as to what's really going on. You know, you ever watch those court cases on TV? What are some of those shows? I know they maybe Judge Judy. No, the ones where they actually take you through the story, and you're hearing this one side of the story, and you're convinced, oh, that guy, he's the guilty one right there, you know. And then later on in the show, it starts to turn, right? Because now they bring in the cross reference. They start to bring a cross examination in there. And you say, oh, I was convinced that was the right person until now they started to show up some more facts. Some more facts begin to show up. Do you understand? So God is a perfect judge, right? God sees it all. He sees the whole thing. But we're not very good at that. Amen? And not to say that we can't offer wise counsel and prayerfully, you know, help people as the Holy Spirit will give us instruction for them. But we ought to be careful that we don't get to the place where we start to get offended because somebody else is offended that we love and start to take sides. Because what will happen is we will start to create division within the body of Christ. We've had situations, I've been through a couple church splits in my time, where that is exactly what has happened, is somebody, usually one person it begins with, they get offended. And then they want people on their team, on their side. You see, that's where we have to say, have you talked to that brother? Have you talked to that sister? You go to them and try to settle it, okay? And even if they did, you need to say, well, are you willing to sit down together? Let's talk this out together. Okay? But some kind of times that people will just run with stuff that they heard through the grapevine. You know? See, you don't have to gossip on the phone anymore. Now you just go on Facebook and gossip. You know, and you present your case on Facebook, and it can sound so convincing. But let's take it before a court of law and have both sides represented so you can really make a proper judgment. Okay? Looking at both sides, not so that you condemn or point a finger, but hopefully that there can be some healing and there can be some reconciliation. How many know that God is into healing and reconciliation? All right? I don't know about you, but I've offended people in my lifetime. I've caused offenses. Not that I intentionally did it, but other times I've been mad at people. I've been upset with people. And instead of zipping it up and taking it to God, I wanted to find somebody else to pour it out on. Yeah. And all of a sudden, I've got people offended with me, and they're on my team. And then the other party, if you're not careful, that party might say, well, I need to get some reinforcements here. I need to get some people on my team. You know, that's how gangs get started. Somebody gets picked on. They're by themselves. A bunch of people, you know, jump on them or whatever. And so they feel vulnerable. They feel afraid. They get into fear. So now I've either got to join a gang or I've got to get some more people, amen, and form my own. So I'll have protection in that. How many know that God is our avenger? How many know that God knows how to settle things? How many know that God doesn't want us to pick up offenses? It's not so much what happens to me as it is my response to what happens to me. God is looking at how I respond to things that happen to me, not what happened necessarily. God knows how to deal with those things. Amen? We commit them over to Him and let Him deal with it. But we just got to guard ourselves in this area because you can inadvertently pick up somebody else's offense. And this can really spread and cause more division. Another thing, it's like meddling, right, in others' affairs. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 9 says, "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to what? And indeed love one another, and indeed you do so towards all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more in what? In the love of God. And that you also," here, listen to the instruction Paul gives, "that you aspire to lead a quiet life," all right, "and to mind your own business." Don't meddle in other people's affairs. Lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. You see, why did he say work with your own hands? Because some people, because they don't have anything to do, they become busybodies. And they got their nose in everybody's business. How many know it's important for us to commit ourselves to the work of the Lord, amen, so that we're doing something productive, amen, and we're not just sitting around idly wondering what we're going to do with ourselves. And God has a plan. God has a purpose for your life. God has a mission for you and for me. And we need to discover that, and we need to commit ourselves to that. And I find that, you know, if I'm really committing myself to the Lord and what He wants me to do, I don't have time for a lot of this other stuff. You know what I'm saying? Again, it's like the dog in the kennel swatting the fleas, you know. As soon as he's on a mission, he forgot all about the fleas. But it's vitally important that we keep our spiritual eyes open through the Word of God and prayer. We've got to be discerning so we're able to discern the traps of the enemy, his tactics. We protect ourselves by abiding in the Lord. We pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself alive. Keep yourself awake. I pray, Lord, wake me up inside. Illuminate my eyes. Amen. The eyes of my understanding. I want to be able to discern. I don't want to be blindly going into a trap because I'm not able to discern that that's actually a trap. Even though sometimes that trap can look so attractive and even the right thing to do. Come on. Been there, done that. You want to help. And God will use you to help others. But as you do that, you need to very prayerfully consider how you're doing that. And make sure that you're doing what God is telling you to do and not just trying to fix everybody around you, because I've tried to do that. And sometimes when we're trying to help, we're actually interfering. So really prayerfully consider what you involve yourself, what battles you pick up, okay, whether there's something God wants you involved in or not. But it's a serious matter. Walking in an offense is a serious matter. It can have far-reaching negative impact on us, and especially on what others around us as well. Now, it's not something you want to hold on to. Hebrews 12:14 says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled." The New Living Translation says it this way, "Work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord." Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. It's easier to deal with an offense if you deal with it quickly. Ephesians 4:26, it says, and don't sin by letting anger control you. I've been there. I've done that. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. Guys, I need to share this with you because I care, all right? And I know that just like I'm subject to these things, so are you. And I want to give you something to help you, to protect you, okay? From an enemy who's very, especially right now in this age, very busy across every spectrum of causing division. And he's using offense to do it. He's trying to get people offended racially. It's all a lie, but he creates these things and scenarios in people's minds. And if they're not careful, they'll start to internalize that. They'll get into their heart and they'll start to hate people just because they believed a lie. And they received it as truth. It's called deception. How many know that God likes variety? God wanted us, amen, the way we are, and that's okay. A garden would be kind of dull if it was all the same color and same variety, right? So God created us differently. We're all human beings, amen? We all bleed the same way, but God likes variety. And why can't we celebrate diversity in that sense and say, hey, you know, God made you beautiful the way you are. You know, and the most important thing is the inner beauty of the heart. We have the, amen, the Spirit of Christ in us and the revelation of that. But a good way to keep us free from offense is to choose to love and forgive one another. Here's a tool. In other words, love is a choice. I don't feel like, well, you're not always going to feel loving. But we choose to obey God in what he's told us to do. And then I find the good feelings follow obedience. If you just live by your feelings, you'll be making a lot of mistakes and making a lot of wrong decisions. I felt like he loved me. I felt like she was the right one. Had you really prayed it through, thought it through? Had you sought the Lord? You know, what did the Lord speak to you about that situation? Oh, I don't really want to do that because God may say no when I say yes. And then what happens? You're kicking yourself because you didn't listen, right? A good way to protect yourself, again, is to choose to love. And this means a deliberate act of obedience. Remember, Jesus forgave us at the cross. Jesus didn't deserve what happened to him. He was a perfect man. He was innocent. Amen? And it was the sin of all of us that put him on that cross. We were an offense to God. But in his mercy, God gave us his son as an offering to pay our debt. And Jesus was willing to lay down his life for us. Because Jesus loved us that much, that he was willing to sacrifice himself on our behalf. And you and I are called to take up our cross and follow him and do likewise. To deny ourselves, that part of us that wants to be vengeful, that wants to lash out, that wants to level the playing field. The Lord says, vengeance is mine. We need to give these things to God. When you are offended, you need to immediately call on the Lord and ask him for grace. Ask him for help. And then you need to choose what God would have you to do in that situation. What would Jesus do, as we say? We need to love that person anyways. It doesn't mean you have to hang out with them, but it means you love them and you forgive them. You let them go. You release them from that. You don't hold that against them anymore. If a person is repentant, amen, then we're to forgive them. We're to release them. Choose to love on the offensive. Okay? Well, nobody loves me. Now, think about this. That's really self-centeredness. I hope I'm hurting anybody's feelings. But I've been there. I don't feel any love in there. Well, why don't you go in there and express God's love and change the atmosphere? Do you get it? We go in there and we affect the change because we bring His presence, we bring His love into the situation, we start loving people. Amen. Offensively. In a good way. We need to be proactive, if you will. We need to give ourselves to love people, to reach out to people. You know, even if you want friends, the Bible says that he will have friends must himself show himself to be what? Friendly. Well, I'll have friends if they want to come and be my friend, but other than that, I ain't stepping out. You know, if we pick up an offense, it can infect everything we do. We can come into church and be looking for somebody else to offend me, or somebody else not to say hi to me, or, you know what I'm saying? Because that's our nature. But when we come, we should say, Lord, I want to be a vessel that you work through today. Lord, I want to be an expression of your heart here today. I want to be a change. Amen. I want to be the one to affect change here. Amen. And you know, if we all have the right attitude about this and we come to love and we come to serve, amen, man, it's beautiful. We have a beautiful fellowship. Can you say amen? We're not perfect because there's people here. Amen. But we have a beautiful thing here. We have a beautiful family. And I'm not saying that to flatter you. It's because many of you, you know the love of God in your heart. And you know how to express His love. And not just wait around for somebody to love you, but you're going to go out and you're going to bless. And you're going to love. And you're going to express God's love towards others. Amen. And people are looking for that. Amen. When we grow up a little bit, amen, we don't need to have somebody bottle feed us so much. As we heard it said, if you've got to part the mustache to insert the bottle, you're too old, right? Yeah. But we need to grow up and bear fruit. And we bear fruit by getting over ourselves. Amen? An adult knows what sacrifice is. All right? There are people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and older who are not adults. Because they just live for themselves. Me, 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 me. But a mature individual understands sacrifice. I'm going to work because I got to take care of my family. I'm going to sacrifice for the ones that I love. Amen. And my responsibility before God is to provide for my family. So it's not like I don't feel like it today. You get out of bed and you do what's right. Amen. Not because you felt like it, but because it's the right thing to do. And whatever we do as unto the Lord. And the Lord will reward you for that. In Matthew 6:14, Jesus said, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we must choose to love. We must choose to forgive. 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. Have what? Fervent love for one another. Hallelujah. And what for love will cover a multitude of sins. 1 Corinthians 13:7. Love, agape, never gives up. That's God's love. Never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Guys, when I'm operating in the love of God, I can endure. I can overcome. I can control myself because I'm concerned about what would happen if I allowed my temper to get the best of me. And so when I'm in the love of God, if I'm strong in the Lord, amen, then I can control my outer man, my flesh, because you can ask Jesus, I've got a temper. Amen. But not so much as of late, but man, in the beginning of our marriage, the first 5 years, both her and I had bad tempers. And we weren't Christians either, believe me. It got pretty rowdy, you know. And then when we got saved, you know, God gave us new hearts and we still had a desire, but we still had that old man, that outer man, amen, that still had his passions and his desires and the selfishness, you know. And God's been in the process of weaning us off that dude, amen? So we become more like Jesus. We rely upon the Holy Spirit, the power of God, to overcome our outer man, our flesh, so that we can live in harmony. And that means I have to say no to sometimes the things I'm really thinking and the things I really want to say. And I have to just nip it in the bud, as Barney said. Keep yourselves, Jude 1:21, in the love of God. Keep yourselves in love of God. This is how you protect yourself. Looking for the mercy of our Lord, Jesus Christ, unto eternal life. Now, verse 20, it says, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Praying in the Holy Spirit. And then he says, together, keep yourself in the love of God. It's by the grace of God we overcome. It's by the power of God that we can control ourselves and do what's right. Even though our flesh may want to do this, you are supposed to be the adult, amen, over that flesh. You, together with the Holy Spirit of God, are to take control over that part of you that wants to lash out or say things that you know you shouldn't. And words are powerful. So what's Satan's goal? He wants to trap us in offense. So we need to refuse to take this bait. We need to, you know, if we refuse to release others, we'll remain in that trap. And an offense will eventually cause your heart to grow cold, if not dealt with. Think about this. A person who continues in an offense, who continues in their anger, doesn't deal with it timely. After a while, that thing will begin to choke out the love of God in you, and you can become cold. Yeah. Christians. I've seen some pretty bitter Christians. Some older saints even, you know. They may have been walking with the Lord a long time, but there's some things that they've never let go of. People have gotten offended in church or whatever. There's a lot of people that don't go into church because somebody hurt their feelings in church. Have you ever had your feelings hurt in Walmart? Checking out? I have. That lady was so rude, right? Does it stop you from going to Walmart? No. All right, enough said, right? We've all offended others. So we need to understand that. What I'm saying to you today, guys, is like we're in this together. I care about you, okay? We care about each other. So we speak the truth in love because we want people to get restored. We want people to get healed, amen? And I don't want you picking up some stuff that God doesn't want you carrying around with you. And you need to be able to discern the trap of the enemy. And you're not going to be discerning if you're not a person of prayer and the Word. You need the Word of God and prayer, amen? You need to be a worshiper of God so that your spiritual eyes are illuminated and you can see, amen, those cockroaches hiding in the corner. God sent Jesus to set us free from the trap. Jesus paid for our deliverance with his own blood. Amen? The price has been paid in full. You don't have to live offended anymore. You can deal with it today. You can lay it at the altar today and be done with it. You can choose to love and forgive somebody, not because they deserved it, because if you think about it, we didn't deserve what Jesus did for us either. But Jesus was on that cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We should also show the same mercy towards one another. Amen. And we need to let go of these things, amen? Otherwise, they will be like that bitter root. It'll begin to grow up, and it'll begin to choke out the love of God in your heart, and you'll become a calloused, indifferent, cold individual. And you got people that go to church religiously, amen? That are just bitter. There's no love. Well, they can tell you what love is. They can theologically explain to you what love is, but can they actually live love before others? Guys, I can't do anything without the grace of God. I can't do this. I can't overcome this world, this flesh, this devil on my own. I rely upon the power of God, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. Amen. So I can be discerning. And when I hear and I hear something, I have to say, I have to process it by the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, what do you say about this? How do I respond to this? Don't be so quick and don't be so impulsive, guys. Don't be so quick to get on Facebook and start taking sides. That's what the enemy's trying to do. He's trying to cause division. I'm not saying get off Facebook, but for me, God told me not to get on Facebook. I just stay out of it. I got enough on my plate already anyways. You can use it as a tool for good, but you got to be careful that you don't get sucked up into a trap, all right? The key to avoiding the trap is recognizing it for what it is. You got to know that, hey, wait a minute, this is a setup. Yeah. It's the same thing with pastors that have gotten in trouble because they've met privately with someone of the opposite sex. Nobody else was there. And they begin to pour their heart out and they got emotionally attached and one thing led to another and they ended up falling. And so we need to have the discernment to say that's not a wise thing to do. Amen? It'd be much wiser for me to have another person present. All right, moving right along. Your neighbor is not your real enemy, okay? Your relatives are not your real enemy. I know. Your brother or your sister is not your real enemy. The devil is. The devil is your enemy. Ephesians 6:12, I'll just remind you of this, for most of you don't know this, but we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Amen? It's not Joe, but it's against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Keep yourself in the love of God, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself built up, amen, spiritually. Be strong, Ephesians 6, in the Lord and in the power of His might, amen, so that you can conquer yourself, overcome yourself. And when an offense comes, deal with it quickly. Don't snuff it away. I know some people are good at just stamp collecting. I'll just put that in the collection. Oh, here's another one. Oh, yeah, we'll add that to what you did before. And after a while, that thing is full, and the next time they have an argument, all this stuff starts coming back out again. Why? Because you haven't really let that person go. You haven't forgiven. You're holding it against them still. Forgiveness from the heart means I cancel every debt. You owe me nothing. I'm not holding it against you anymore. I don't have to hang out with you if you're a troublemaker. Amen? But I'm going to forgive you from my heart so that I can walk free and avoid the trap. As a Christian, I'm called to love others, not wait for others to love me. I'm called to serve and not expect to be served. Victory over the darkness is going to be accomplished in the spiritual realm. Hallelujah. What we see in the natural is a result of the invisible world. Obedience is not an action, is an action, not a feeling. Obedience is an action, not a feeling. God will reward you with His peace and deliverance if you obey Him. Psalms 119:165 says, those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. In other words, I have my emotions, I have my feelings about what's going on right now. But what does God say? What is His instruction to me? How am I to respond to what happened? Not look what they did, but how do I respond to what they did? Amen. God will reward you for your obedience. God will strengthen your heart if you do the right thing. And God will then use you to help others who are struggling with the same thing that you've overcome. That's how it works. You know, you and I are able to help others in the areas where we've overcome. And so you're going to be tested at times. You have to go through the tests. And one of the tests will be the offense. It's a trap set by the enemy, but God wants His people to be user-friendly in His hands. Amen? And He wants us to grow in wisdom. And so we're going to make mistakes. But what we do is we learn from it. Amen? We say, okay, that was not very smart. Next time, I'm going to rely upon God, and I'm going to do it His way. And that's how we grow. man. If you keep sticking your finger in the electrical socket, you know, the first time should have been enough, right? But, okay. But we want to learn from those things and not to kick somebody because they make a mistake, because that could be us, right? But what we want to see is healing, reconciliation, restoration. See, a lot of people are so afraid that they're going to get clobbered over the head with the Bible when they come to church that they stay away. Amen? What we want people to know is that, listen, we're not okay with sin, but we love you enough to tell you the truth, and we're here to help you up. Amen? We're not going to kick you because you're down. We're going to lift, you know, extend our hand to you and help you up out of that situation because we care. Because God has done that for us. Because God has been good to me. Therefore, I can be good to you. Amen? I can be merciful just like He's merciful to me. Not because I deserved it, but because God is good. That's His heart. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. All of us, without Him, are lost. You can't run away. I'm going to finish with this. You can't run away from the offense. I've tried to do that. It's always dragging along behind you. It's like a ball and chain. And it's preventing you from moving forward. God wants you to break those chains, to release those things. We have a choice to make. I'm going to allow God access to all of me, have my heart free and clear from all unforgiveness, from all offenses, so that God has a temple that He can inhabit fully, and that His love can be shed abroad in me, and I can be an expression of His heart in this world, that I can go and show mercy to others as God has been merciful to me. But I have to follow the example of my Lord, and I am going to have to deny that part of me that wants to get even. Instead of complaining about it, let's be proactive and do something to make a change. Instead of looking for love, let's be love towards others. Instead of waiting for somebody to serve or call, I'll make the call. I'll serve. I'll do. Are you hearing me, somebody? If someone's hurt you and you're struggling to let it go as an act of obedience, I want to ask you today to lay it down at the altar. Give it to God. And get yourself out of that trap today. We all deal with offense. I do. You do. We just got to do the right thing about it. You want to be free? Obey the Lord. Get that monkey off your back. I'm just going to pray. Let's just pray together, out loud, together. Hallelujah. And I pray that God will help you to get over that part of you that would resist right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that You would send Your Spirit upon us right now. Holy Spirit, come and envelop each individual in this house right now. God, I pray that You would release Your healing. You would release the oil of anointing, the oil of healing, Father. God, I ask You to release that breaker anointing right now, that You will break the yoke of the oppressor off my brothers and sisters. Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind you. I command you to take your hands off right now. Loose them in Jesus' name. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Take your hands off God's people right now. And Holy Spirit, come. Come like the wind. Come like the rain. Come, Holy Spirit, and envelop us right now. Saturate us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to lead us now in a prayer to get rid of these things. This is how the Lord has showed me how to do it, and it works. And I'd like you to pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I fail You, and I fall short. But You are good, and You are gracious, and You are merciful, and You forgive me. Lord, I want to forgive others, but I don't have the strength in myself. I'm asking You to give me the ability right now to let go of these things, to forgive people from my heart, to release them in Jesus' name. Now I want you to find that person. God has been speaking to some of you. He's brought a person before you. You saw that face. I want you to speak to that person right now. Whoever it is, just speak to that person and say, in the name of Jesus, I choose to forgive you. I release you now. I forgive you. You owe me nothing. I cancel the debt right now in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that I am forgiven. Hallelujah. There's somebody else. You say, now speak to that person. And say, I choose now as an act of obedience before the Lord to release you. I choose now to cancel the debt. I cancel the debt. You owe me nothing. You are free to go in Jesus' name. You are forgiven. You are released in Jesus' name. Does God show you somebody else? Do the same thing again. Say, I choose to forgive you. You owe me nothing. You are free to go. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you, hallelujah, for freedom. Thank you for freedom today. I just feel like that load is coming right now off of you. Hallelujah. As you obey God in this, as you show mercy, just like God shows mercy to you, then you can go free. Hallelujah. If there's anybody else, just begin to ask the Lord right now, Lord, is there anybody in my life and that I'm holding an offense, or I'm holding a grudge against, or I haven't really released that person from my heart? Just do it right now as an act of obedience. Let them go. Speak to them. Do it in faith before the Lord. Choose to release them. If God would have you go to that person in person, then obey Him in that. But right now, there's times when there are people that are no longer in our lives. No, we can't do that. This is how you deal with it. Hallelujah. People you've hurt in the past, you can pray for them. Hallelujah. People that have hurt you, you can choose to release them. Not to say it's okay what they did, but leave it up to God. But to get yourself free by forgiving them. Hallelujah.